This is our third session of Letting Go and Letting Be, and today, learning how to relax the mind. I'm Joel Vaughn. Most of you, or I think a good percentage of you, were here yesterday when we went through a relaxation exercise that focused on relaxing the body. And just to review briefly, I mentioned to you in the first time and the second time that a great part of the stress that we encounter in our lives is a automatic physiological response that we have to situations that are upsetting, either positively upsetting in terms of something challenging or something good or interesting that's happening, or negatively upsetting in terms of some change, problem, difficulty that we might be experiencing. Relaxation is one way, not the only way, but one way of combating stress. Relaxation exercises are or can be an antidote to stress. The relaxation that we did yesterday again is what we call deep muscle relaxation. What I'm going to do with you today is show you some ways in which we can both go back over a little bit of the deep muscle relaxation, but also show you some ways in which we can relax the mind as well. It's one thing to get our bodies relaxed and to free the muscles of tension. It's another thing to quiet our minds and calm our thoughts. As a matter of fact, it is probably more difficult to relax our mind than it is to relax our body. So this is going to take a little bit of work and a little bit of practice. I'm going to show you some introductory techniques today, some of what we call relaxed visualization. And then tomorrow, we're going to try to go a little bit further and get into some meditational experiences and try some guided imagery and do some things that are built on what we did yesterday and today. To begin with today, what I want to do is go back through the relaxation procedure with you. Some of you weren't here yesterday. We're not going to do it in quite the same detail, but I'm going to go through it again for you to work on. And then as we get a measure of relaxation through deep muscle relaxation, I'm going to take you the next step and begin to talk with you about some ways in which we can relax our minds. So here again, if you want to lay down, that's fine. If you want to take your glasses off, that would probably be helpful. If you want to give yourself a little bit of room so that you have your own little space. Find a comfortable spot. As I told you yesterday, works best to have your feet flat on the floor if you're going to relax, and to have your hands kind of in your laps, and we'll go from there. I'd like you to close your eyes now, and let's work on getting relaxed. I'd like you to block out any noises or any disturbance or any noise or outside kind of disturbance that might be bothersome to you. Block out any thoughts, any concerns, any worries that you might have at this time. Just try to focus on listening very closely to the sound of my voice, listening to me talk to you about relaxation. I want you to think a moment about your breathing. Pay attention to your breathing. Notice what is involved in the breathing process. Notice that as you breathe in, your lungs fill, your chest moves, back and shoulders. And as you breathe out, your lungs empty, stomach, chest, shoulders move. Steady your breathing for just a moment. Pay attention to the way in which you breathe. Notice the pause as you breathe in and as you breathe out. Study that pause. Notice the rhythm and the regular quality of your breathing and the feeling of relaxation that is a part of breathing evenly, smoothly, and quietly. Go ahead now and take a deep, even breath. Hold it for a moment at the top and let it go. Let's try that again. Take a deep, slow, even breath. Hold it for a moment and let it go. Let's try it again. Take a deep, slow, even breath. Hold it and let it go. Notice the feeling of relaxation as you begin to breathe, as you begin to gain control over your breathing. Notice the beginning of the relaxation that spreads throughout your entire body. Study that relaxation. I want you to think now about your feet, your ankles. Allow them to relax. Let the tension drain out your feet into the floor. Relax the entire lower part of your legs, calves, your ankles, your feet, your toes, just letting them go limp and quiet and relax. Letting the tension drain down your legs into the floor. Allow the muscles in your hips, your buttocks, your thighs to relax. Allow the chair to support you, or the floor to support you, and let your muscles go limp. Limp and quiet, relaxed. Limp like a rag doll. Heavy and quiet. Relax the muscles in your stomach and back and chest. Let those muscles go. Relax the muscles in your shoulders and your arms, letting them hang limply in your lap. Allow the entire body, from your neck down to your toes, to be as heavy and as limp and as relaxed as you possibly can. Relax the muscles in your neck, in your head. Move your neck slowly and find a way to let those muscles relax. Relax the muscles in your scalp, in your head, in your neck, in your shoulders. Drain the tension, relaxing the muscles in the top of your body, your head, your neck, shoulders, arms, chest, stomach, back, hips, thighs, calves, feet, down into the floor, tension and stress draining away, body becoming heavy and limp, quiet, relaxed. You're doing very, very nicely. Beginning to sense a serene, quiet, peaceful place. Relax the muscles in your face now. Smooth out the wrinkles. Allow those muscles to droop. Let your jaw hang limp. Relax your tongue, your lips. Just relax your entire body as much as you possibly can. In your mind now, go over your entire body and find any spot, any muscle, any place that needs to be relaxed. And allow those parts to relax. Just let the relaxation become more and more obvious. You do nothing but give way to the pleasant, relaxed, serene feeling. Just let go, paying attention only to the very relaxed, peaceful place within yourself. Now, while you're sitting in this very relaxed, peaceful place, I want you to imagine yourself sitting in the mountains next to a mountain stream. Soft pine needle mulch underneath, resting your back against comfortable pine tree. Sun is bright, warm on your face. White puffs of clouds drift slowly over the mountain peaks. Feel the gentle breeze on your face. It ruffles your hair. Just wafts over your face, arms. Sky is blue. Green pines. Clear, cool, fresh water. Feel the gentle sun warm on your face. Smell the cool freshness of the air and the water. Look out over the stream. See the rippling water as it splashes over the rocks, flows downstream. Notice the sunlight as it dances on the water. Watch the ripples and just feel that very quiet, peaceful, relaxed feeling. Soak up every sight and every sound. Nothing to do but completely relax and unwind. Notice how quiet, peaceful, feel. Just sitting and watching the water go by. Comfortably relaxed. Quiet. I'm going to stop talking for a moment. I want you to just sit and watch the water. Feel the sun. Smell the air. Touch the pine needles at your sides. In a moment, we'll come back to this room. But you know that you can go back to this place in your mind when you need a chance to refresh yourself, be quiet, and relaxed. You can use this place for yourself anytime. Now, with your eyes still closed, I'd like you to begin to stretch. Slowly move your arms and your legs around. Take a deep breath. Yawn. Stretch. Open your eyes. Well, I'd be interested in knowing, before we go on to the next thing, how you felt about that, whether you were able to see, touch, smell, taste. Well, we didn't have to taste anything. How did that work for any of you? Anybody have any success with that? Were you able to visualize that picture?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Pretty easy, having seen that picture so often around here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anybody have trouble with that?
I went to sleep, so I must have missed that. Aspect.
You went to sleep, okay. having a cold definitely interferes? Yes, sure would.
Is it possible to be asleep and still hear your voice?
No, you wouldn't hear the voice, you wouldn't hear the description if you were asleep. That's why it would be better if we can help you not to go to sleep, and if you can help yourself not to go to sleep, because again, while sleep is great, and that's relaxation of one form, it doesn't allow you to use some of the cognitive exercises that can be done with the relaxation.
If you go to sleep like that, are you blocking
something out? Oh, it's possible, I suppose, but it's also, if you're tired, if you've hiked, if you've been doing things all day, and you come into this kind of situation where it's warm and someone starts talking to you in a very calm and comfortable manner, and, it's easy to nod off. So I don't see it so much as resistance or blocking as just the situation. One of the reasons why some people also prefer that people not lay down in that situation is because it's a little bit harder to drop off to sleep if you're sitting in a chair. But did anybody? Were you able to hear me? I don't think you were. Were you?
When you're deaf, it's very hard to relax because if you want to hear, you have to both watch.
Yes.
And listen.
Yes, I know. So you can't close your eyes, or you couldn't close your eyes.
The only way I relax is just to go to bed earlier. And then I'm tired, and that's it for the day.
It's kind of difficult to talk loudly, too, at that point, because I get kind of quiet, and part of the tone is to be more quiet also.
Like yesterday, I was over in the Libsyn Tower, about to pick the sea. And I was laying on one of the benches, and I had a hand up like this, and I went to sleep mm-hmm. because his voice did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But today I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Anybody have any trouble with it, or any part of it? I went.
A little more trouble today than I did yesterday.
Okay.
The chainsaw disturbed me.
When the door opens, the noise was kind of loud. Yeah. Somebody said they went to the ocean? Okay. That happens, and that's okay. Sometimes people find their own spot. In the beginning, I like to get kind of detailed in describing the spot to help with the visualization process. It's very important that in that kind of exercise that you work very hard at trying to put either in terms of the picture that the leader is setting up or in terms of your own picture, that you try to make it as vivid as possible. What we're trying to do in that kind of situation is to give the mind something else to work with. And to do that, you have to really focus on what it is that you're doing, because we want to take the mind away from all the other things that tend to circulate around and focus on something like a very relaxed scene, or in the case of meditation, a mantra, or in the case of other meditational techniques, a word or a phrase or what have you. And to do that, you have to continually bring yourself back to and make yourself think about the detailed aspects of what you're seeing or hearing or smelling or touching. Otherwise, it's too easy to lose that and just kind of begin thinking about, you know, all the bills you're going to pay when you get home, and is the refrigerator still running, and, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, we did it a little bit more quickly. We didn't do the tensing and the relaxing of the muscles as a way of trying to go through that more quickly. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to take you back to a relaxed situation and go through a different exercise, but a related exercise with you. So if you're ready to do that, again, find that comfortable spot. Okay, close your eyes. Begin to center on that relaxed, peaceful feeling that you're beginning to get some experience with. Blocking out any distractions, either from within or from without. Paying attention only to that inner quiet, that feeling of calm, peaceful, relaxed, serene, quiet. Focus on your breathing for a moment. Notice parts of your body involved in breathing. Focus on that pause at the top and at the bottom of your breathing. Take a few moments breathing in and breathing out in a very regular and even fashion. Relax the muscles in your feet and your legs. Relax the entire lower half of your body, letting it go as limp, as quiet as you possibly can. Relax the muscles in your stomach, your hips, your back. Let those muscles go. Let the chair, the floor support you. And just let those muscles go limp and relax. Limp like a rag doll, drooping, heavy, quiet. Relax the muscles in your chest, your shoulders, your arms. Allow the tension to drain down through your body into the floor. Relax the muscles in your neck, your head, and your face. If you're sitting up, let your chin droop down, down against your chest. Relax the muscles in your face, in your mouth, in your jaw, your tongue. Very nice. Very quiet. Peaceful, calm, serene. Take yourself back to that quiet place in the mountains. Sitting peacefully along that clear, cool, mountain stream. Notice the sky, clouds, sun warm on your face, wind moving through the pines, rustling branches. Feeling very quiet, very peaceful. Just letting go. Taking a few minutes for yourself just to relax, just to be. Notice the stream. Notice the water. Notice as you look upstream that there's a bend in the stream. Watch for a while as the water flows slowly around the bend and downstream toward you. Notice how peaceful it is to watch the water. As you're watching, notice now a small log coming into view around the bend, bobbing and floating down the stream toward you, slowly making its way toward the spot in which you're sitting. Look closely at the log as it approaches you. Written on its side is a word. You can't see it yet. Can't make it out. But look closely as it approaches. It's a word that describes a thought or a feeling, an idea maybe that you have, but you can't make it out yet. It's not close enough. Watch the log as it comes closer. Now it's coming into view more clearly. Bobbing, floating, coming right past you. Look at it closely now and note what it says. Then let it go past, on down the stream, bobbing and floating downstream. Watch it as it moves away from you. Let it go and be at peace and relaxed again. Looking upstream, notice another log coming around the bend, floating towards you. Watch it as it comes, still too far away to make out what it says. Coming towards you in its own time, showing you what it is and what it says in its own time. And there's no hurry, there's no rush. Let it come, coming into view now. Note what it says. Watch as it goes by. Let it go. Let it go on past, floating down. Bobbing and floating in the water in its own time. Notice yet another log coming down towards you. Moving in the water. Bobbing and floating. Coming slowly into view. Watch for it as it comes. Taking its own time. Telling you something about a thought or a feeling or an idea. It's coming into view. You can read it now. Says something. Note what it says. Let it go on past. Just let it go downstream. Out of sight. Just sitting now, relaxed, more peaceful, more quiet than you've been at any time today. Sitting there, knowing that you can be at peace, that you can slow down yourself and your thinking. Thoughts in a way that just allows you to be completely relaxed, quiet, and peaceful. Just enjoy that relaxed, feeling for a few moments. Now gradually come back to this room. Just stir, move around, stretch, yawn, open your eyes. Well, how did anybody do with that? Anybody want to talk about how they reacted to that?
I lost the logs.
You lost the logs?
Yeah, I kept losing the logs.
Kept losing them in what way? Okay. And what would replace them?
Just the water, and then I'd have to try and float this logging.
Okay.
I did a lot of logging. I tired them off.
I kept finding myself floating up over the river, then up over the forest, and I wouldn't stay down there by the water.
That must have been a fun experience.
Well, it was, except I kept trying to discipline myself to get back down to where I belonged, and I wouldn't stay. It was...
Okay.
Told us how many logs you're going to have. I had to debate which word I wanted to choose.
What did you choose?
What word you wanted to choose?
Hope and love from the word tonight. So I put them both on the first one.
Okay. You didn't know you had three, huh? I really didn't want so much for anybody to have to choose a word, but sometimes that exercise can just... If you can get into it, can just present some words or some feelings that are part of us that we can take a look at, and it's not everybody doesn't have the same experience, obviously, and it doesn't always work in the same way for everyone else. But you know.
Most people can visualize if they work at it. There are a rare few who have difficulty, who just can't, who don't visualize well. I happen to be one of those few also. It's something you have to work at. For example, yeah, a little bit.
Are there any books on it?
I don't know of any that are on it. But for example, one of the things I have trouble with that is a problem with visualization, mental visualization, is if I have to look at a plan of something, or if I have to imagine what a room would look like furnished in a different way, I can't do that very well. Luckily, my wife does that extremely well, but I can't do it too well.
I can't visualize people even, my children and my husband. But I dream like crazy.
But I would say this, you have to be careful about saying you can't do it. It isn't usually that we can't do it, it's that we have more difficulty with that mode. In other words, some of us are visual people, some of us are auditory people, some of us are kinesthetic people, we have to touch. And kids are this way in terms of the way in which they learn. I happen to be more of an auditory person, and you may be also. As a result, you can hear the words, but actually creating the scene in this kind of situation is a little bit more difficult. It's usually that we have a strength in one area. It's not that we don't have any. The fact that you dream, the fact that you do have probably some mental representation of memories or experiences indicates you can visualize. It's just that you would require much more discipline in doing that and much more practice in doing it. Somebody else? Anybody else have a experience? experience with that?
I had a difficult time with Calm Creek because we had just been up to Heart Lake. Mm-hmm. Following the Redwood Creek, which is pretty rough water, I couldn't get into Calm.
That's interesting that you said that, because I was thinking as we were going to do this today about that too. All the streams around here are a different kind of stream, and that mental idea that we have of the streams in the Holden area probably is not helpful to this particular exercise. You need to kind of see the slower stream, and we've got a lot of those in the Midwest, and this always works well in the Midwest, but I think it probably doesn't work as well here.
That also came out for me when the log coming around the bend was passing, and then you said, "Yeah, coming closer."
You had to raise the front of
it.
But let me tell you too, the reason that would typically happen in almost any situation, this exercise is what we call a thought slowing exercise. The reason that we would do this is that most of the time we spend, our mind is racing, especially when we're not relaxed, when we're unable to relax. Things are circulating and going through at such a quick pace that we don't have time to really deal with anything. This is an attempt. Again, you shouldn't expect that you should be able to do this in one sitting. You know, after 5 minutes of learning how to relax, you should be able to do this. It takes people weeks and weeks and months of practice to be able to actually slow their thoughts to the degree that I would be talking about here. But that's what the exercise is about. It's an attempt to slow down the thinking, to focus on one thing at a time, to see the log come by, and for the log to be an idea. Okay? That's the point of it. But most of us don't do that too well. And the reason your log was going so quickly is in part because your thoughts are going so quickly. So that again becomes something that has to be practiced, that one has to learn how to do with one's mind. And we don't discipline our minds in that way. The people who practice yoga, who practice Zen, who practice other meditational techniques, and all kinds of other mental exercises can do it much better because they work at it. It's a discipline. Is somebody else better?
How often should we do this sort of thing? Once or twice a day?
I told the people yesterday that in terms of relaxation, what I tell the people in my office who I suggest that do this or assign this to is that they should do it twice a day for at least 2 weeks before they decide whether or not they can or can't do it. Now, any one of these techniques, of course, there's no way to say how long it should be practiced. Again, every one of us is different as far as our ability to do certain kinds of things and our practice of doing them. But from the point of view of learning to relax and learning to focus, it would take regular practice. However, I think maybe, I don't know whether any of you feel this, but maybe you see that we've gone through very quickly, now the third time, the relaxing part of things, and you are learning to get down very quickly to a relaxed state. I noticed, for example, as I was talking to all of you with this last exercise, that most of you were pretty relaxed and pretty focused, or at least outwardly. That was my perception. And you get kind of a feel for those things after you do it for a while, very quickly, so that you can see that it doesn't take too much practice to get a good deal of progress going in that area.
Like today, I'd made that hike up to Heart Lake, and you said that the log would go faster through the, you know, because of the fast stream. But I slowed it down.
Well, that's good. That's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
We want you to slow it down.
I didn't know whether I could or not when you first mentioned it.
Well, good.
What help could this be with pain?
This is a very effective technique with many kinds of pain. It is used very frequently in pain clinics, pain centers. It's a way of focusing off of the pain. There are a number of techniques that can be used to relax parts of the body which do experience chronic pain, lower back pain, headache pain. It's used with migraine headaches, It's used with muscle pain, a variety of different kinds. It's also used as a way of ignoring chronic pain. So that if you're focused on the visualization process, you are not responding, you are not experiencing the pain in the same way. Now, that of course is only while you're relaxed and visualizing at the same time. The more one does this kind of thing, the more automatic it becomes, and so that some people can learn to kind of turn their chronic pain off for periods of time. And it has become and can become an adjunct to the use of medication in the treatment of pain. And for some people, depending on the kind of pain, it is in fact a better way of dealing with pain. Medication.
Well, you know people who are at the University of Washington at the
pain clinic or pain center probably.
And I mean, that's why they go there, is mm-hmm. partly is to so they don't have to use the medication.
Yeah, these exercises are used extensively in those situations, mm-hmm. or relaxation exercise in general. Okay, want to take, yeah.
Are there any pitfalls that a person should look out for in this particular situation?
There are really no pitfalls that I can think of. Some people, in the tensing and relaxing of their muscles, if they work too hard at that, tensing up muscles too hard and then relaxing them, might create some mild muscle spasm or whatever. And we usually avoid people tensing or relaxing muscles too much in the lower back. Or in the calves, because those muscles tend to get maybe a little bit more prone to muscle spasm. There are no contraindications to speak of in the use of the technique. It's a benign kind of procedure. I have seen it do no harm at all to anybody that I've ever worked with it, and seen it do. Seem to be very helpful, especially to very anxious individuals.
I have friends who are more fundamentalist, and they are very frightened of things like meditation. Especially, they'll say, like, they might give you a mantra which would be the name of a heathen god,
mm-hmm.
and you come under the influence then of evil power. Mm-hmm. Have you ever run into anything?
Well, I never run into anybody who has said that, but certainly it would be a concern to certain people if they felt that if they felt very strongly about that, and I simply would recommend that they not use meditation. There are a number of Christian meditations, however, that can be done. The Jesus Prayer is used frequently as a meditational technique. Tomorrow I'm going to go through some other Christian meditations that can be done. Again, I suppose somebody could be concerned about that.
Yeah, they really are. It's a doorway for Satan.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it as such, but that's mm-hmm. one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Would this be a successful method for combating insomnia?
Yes. It can be, sure. Especially if the most insomnias are caused by mental stress and obsessional thinking, this is a combatant to that kind of thing. And many times, if you have trouble sleeping, this is the kind of thing that you can, the muscle relaxation kinds of things, the kinds of things that you can do that can be very conducive to sleep, as we've seen here.
I have a question. I was lying down both yesterday and today,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered about people sitting in the chairs, how they could relax as well as I could on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can. I myself prefer to sit in the chair when I do it, because it's just the way I started, the way I learned it, and it works fine for me. Even although these chairs are not terribly comfortable, if you are really focusing, that you shouldn't be in that state. Your concentration and the focus of your attention is so much on what you're doing that the muscles, and that's why it's a pain technique. You see, because you are no longer relating to all the feedback that's coming from the muscles and from the difficulties and from the outside, and you are focused, you have your attention focused in a different area. That focused attention is what we're searching for. Now, in terms of going to sleep, it'd be easier to lay down on the floor and do it, or lay down in bed at night and go to sleep, than to sit in a chair. But we're not so much interested, again, in people going to sleep in the way that I'm trying to talk with you about the exercise. We're interested in how it can be used to do other things, and of course to gain relaxation, but without.
I, for one, would rather sit in a chair, because I find myself very, very close to sleep, so relaxed, and if I was laying down, I know I'd go to sleep.
But here again, see, I think a part of the sleep problem, one of the reasons why many people are dozing here is that you've been out in the air all day. Mm-hmm. That's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You got up probably at 6:30 or 7 this morning, and I'm giving you an opportunity to close your eyes and take a nap, and you don't do that. Okay? So that's kind of an artifact of our situation. If you were in a different state or a different point, it's probably less likely that you would do that.
I was kind of wondering, the second time I experienced, like, the first log business, trying to make still water or put the bed right away or whatever, I was with you right there, but I lost a lot of what you said, and yet I don't know if you'd say I was really sleeping, because just as you started to end it, I was right there, and it was like, maybe I just was blanking out or what. And I kind of wondered if even working your mind to really visualize and focus on that scene and this kind of thing might be taking away from that relaxation.
Well, it is. Let me respond to that in two ways, because I think it's kind of an important point. On the one hand, you know, there are a number of people who have told me at times when we'll do this that I wish you would have stopped talking because I didn't need that anymore, you know. And that was just more distracting to me, to my relaxation, than the fact that you were continuing. At the same time, in a true meditational sense, that if we were looking for meditation and focused attention as much as possible, then what you experienced was a distraction. Your relaxation, in that sense, was a distraction from the task at hand. If we're just looking for relaxation, you were doing great. You know, in other words, you left what was being done here and you were just somewhere where you were feeling very, very relaxed and maybe very quiet. But from a meditational point of view, anything that takes one away from the meditation is really a distraction. And that's the kind of the contradictory aspect of this, or the paradoxical aspect, that the true meditation and the true use of this from a meditational point of view would be the ability to focus one's attention, not to drop off to sleep, not to go off someplace else, not to think about the grocery list or what you're going to do tomorrow or whether the dinner bell is going to ring, but rather to discipline the mind to focus on the exercise. Now, the particular exercise might not be particularly meaningful to you, but if you were working from a meditational point of view, leaving the meditation to go to that place would have been a no-no.
It's just like, I'm not in a crazy
moment.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah.
I have problems with migraine, and I'm just starting to use this more as successfully. I've used it, but it's becoming more successful. But when I get to what I call third level pain, where it's to be really bad and really trying to focus hard, I'm confused as to whether, I mean, I almost feel like the pain is in competition with the focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I haven't overcome that sense that I'm running just as hard from the pain as I am working hard to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost causes enough stress to make it not worthwhile. But yet it is more successful than if I let the pain go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things, and you probably do this automatically, but I think one of the things that I would suggest would be that you try to catch the pain earlier and introduce the technique earlier for a couple of reasons. One, have more success with the lighter pain in beginning, And two, the more you do that, the more you don't experience, the more you cut off the pain, you know, at the first stage or the first level or second level, whatever, the less likely, or the more effective you're going to be in preventing the third level pain. It's awfully hard if you don't know the exercise well, and all of a sudden you get this tremendous headache or you get this tremendous pain that you don't know what to do with, to go into the exercise and try to do it, to use it to combat pain, when you're still struggling with kind of putting it together in terms of just getting it down pat. That's why we recommend that people practice it excessively. I started to say in my work in my office, one of the ways in which I would use this would be with somebody who is chronically anxious or tense or phobic, very fearful. But what we do is we don't begin by having that person talk about their fears in the office and then relax them, but rather show them the exercise. Go through the exercise with them, have them practice the exercise for several weeks before we begin to try to pair up the fear and the combatant of fear through relaxation. And that's the point that I'm making with you. It'd be much better to make sure that you have the exercise and the technique down pat and begin to use it in the earlier stages. And then you may find it more effective in the later stages.
Are there any visualizations written out somewhere that you could use with other people? Little stories?
Yes, there are. These are the ones that I'm using are kind of my own that I take and change around, but the basic ones are the log thing is there's a basic exercise, the logs coming down the river. That's it. It's written in several places. You just have to elaborate on it then, and it becomes your own in terms of how you set it up and how you do it. There's one that's used with bubbles coming up to the surface and a word or message on the bubbles. I'll bring some of the resources tomorrow that I've been using, at least the one, and one of them's in the bookstore here that we'll go through, and I'll show you those then. But they're kind of written in a number of different places. I don't have anything right in mind that I can tell you. I want to, we're not running out of time. It's 5 after 5. I want to take you through just one very quickly, just to show you, and then we'll stop. This will take only about 10 minutes. All right, again, just find a quiet place and close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Just pay attention to your breathing for a few moments. Quiet yourself. Go to that place inside you that is peaceful, calm, relaxed. Just relax your entire body. Allow muscles to be quiet and limp. In your mind, go over your entire body and relax that portion needs to be relaxed. Allow your head, neck, shoulders, chest, arms, back, hips, legs, feet, to relax and be completely limp and quiet. No need to pay attention to anything else, any other distraction or disturbance. Just let yourself go. I'm going to count from 1 to 10. As I count, and as the numbers get bigger, find your relaxation doubling. 1, 2, 3, 4. More and more relaxed. 5, 6, 7. Deeper and deeper relaxed. 8, 9, 10. Completely quiet, peaceful, calm, relaxed. Now I want you to touch your thumb of your right hand to your index finger. And go back to a time when your body felt healthy fatigue. Recreate that feeling of pleasant exhaustion. It may have been when you were jogging, or when you finished a work project, or a home project of some kind. Recapture that feeling of accomplishment and healthy fatigue. Now, touch your thumb to your middle finger. Go back to a time when you had a loving experience. It may have been a warm embrace or an intimate conversation with a good friend. Relive that experience. Touch your thumb to your ring finger. Go back to the most recent compliment. Go back to the best compliment you ever received. Perhaps it was in the village here. Perhaps it was some time ago. It may have been an award or personal recognition of some kind. Try to fully accept that compliment or that recognition now.
Just
realize that it was given to you and take it for yourself. Now, touch your thumb to your little finger and go back to the most beautiful place you've ever been. Dwell there for a while. And enjoy that beauty. Now, come back to this room feeling relaxed and refreshed and ready for dinner and a very relaxing evening. Yawn and stretch, open your eyes. Well, how did that work for anybody? Isn't that a good feeling? You went from one beautiful place to another. See, we're always rushing. We're traveling around. There's a lady that went to 10 beautiful places. 3 or 4. Anybody want to just say anything about that experience? Any special feeling or any special experience that you had? Couldn't accept the compliment? Or the whole thing?
A compliment. Mm. I'm just that way.
Mm. I have to work on that with you. Yes?
I got extremely stressed. I was laying back here and heard the noise outside, and I was trying to hear what you said. The noise over here, she said, just came right out of the relaxation. I just felt a tremendous.
Did you notice the guy who walked around you and stepped over you? Yeah.
I mean, that happened and then also.
Yeah, you're in a bad spot there. No amount of concentration at this level is going to. That's people coming in and out. You feel the wind from the door. That door opens and closes behind you. Come up here next time. It's a little quieter up here. Probably the more we stayed away from the back of that place and the more we stayed up in around here, because nobody seems to come through this door, or maybe the more you stayed up in the balconies. I don't know how it is up there, but it's always a danger of rolling over on top of us.
I had something happen to me that I haven't thought of for almost 30 years.
In which part? The compliment?
No, the
loving experience?
Beauty.
Oh, the beauty? Yeah, that's the nice thing about this. It kind of calls up some things that maybe we've forgotten about, or maybe it... You know, I think one of the things that happens in our lives is that so many of us, maybe like you, something good is said to us, something good happens to us, and it's a little bit like, oh gee, I really feel good about that, that's nice, but I better put it away now because, you know, after all, you know, I shouldn't get a big head, or I shouldn't flatter myself. And too many of us, I think, spend too much time always on the negative. I should have done this better. I could have done this better. If I'd only worked a little harder, if I could have done this, or I probably disappointed this person. And we let go so quickly of the things that are good in our lives And you know, we can't celebrate. We can't celebrate what's good for us and what's good in our lives. We sure can worry, and we sure can focus on all the things we've done wrong. And part of that, I guess, is just the way we've been raised, and part of it's maybe something about us as people, but it's sometimes very difficult for us to really say, and to really re-experience and go back and say, boy, I did a good job with that, or I really felt good about that. That's what I like about this last one. It's so positive in terms of calling up some things that ought to be good for us. Any other comments before we stop? It's about 5:20. Tomorrow we'll just go ahead with this, building on this, but we're going to try to get into a little bit of some of the meditational kinds of things that can be done, a little bit of the a little bit more spiritual Christian kinds of things.